Episode 196. Welcome back to Steel and Naz. Today is Tuesday, September 16th. We are through 2 weeks of the NFL season, and the boys are back. How are we doing, Mike Steele?
Fantastic.
Yeah.
What a sports weekend.
What a sports weekend. Fucking you. College football, baseball.
The works. Boxing, NFL, everything. It had all of it.
Yeah, Canelo lost. Huh? That's one. Before we get it, we got to announce the new sponsor. You know, we have a couple down the list here. Really like getting the, you know, South Shore Quincy community in the picture here. And this has been a staple in the heart of Quincy for a long time. I know my family has been, you know, big on this place the whole time. Follow House Cafe, located at 1049 Hancock Street, Quincy, Massachusetts. Breaking news, new Steel and Naz sponsor. You know, if you're, I mean, how to explain it? Just it's a neighborhood pub. I think that great menu,
elite
top
place
to
catch a game. Elite place.
Yeah, it's TV screens everywhere. You could literally get whatever you want there. I'm not going to get the Nutty Irishman promos going until it gets a little colder where you actually need it.
But they're coming.
But yeah, they're coming. Go in there. I'm sure our friend of the program, John Lund's, probably waitressing right now.
Absolutely.
Killer. What's my favorite dish there? I was going to say the next one, but, turkey club, cheeseburger club. Can't go wrong with anything on the menu.
No, you can even throw in some jambalaya.
Jambalaya. That's
chicken stir fry.
That's a T-Naz go-to.
I think I had like a 3-year stretch of the prime rib sandwich, like straight.
Oh, yeah. With that au jus sauce or whatever.
Yeah,
it's fire. It's sensational. So get over there. My mouth's already watering. Hope to get there this weekend. Big shout out to their owner for hooking up the boys, helping us out, and really appreciate it. Tell them Steel and Naz sent you in there, and we'd love to get your feedback. A lot on the horizon tonight. We got the Pats 1-1 start. We've been kind of going bi-weekly, so we kind of skipped last week's Jazz, which was honestly for the best.
Yeah, I didn't miss much.
You know, our biggest takeaways from the first 2 weeks, followed by you know, Aaron Rodgers coming to town with the big bad Pittsburgh Steelers this weekend. We'll give you our take on that. We're gonna spin around with 5 NFL questions presented by the law offices of Patrick J. Foley. Really just to mix in with our programming of, you know, what went around the NFL. And then big Yankees Red Sox series last weekend, capped by a Red Sox victory, but Yankees took 2 or 3. I think they're a game ahead right now in the wild card.
Yeah,
but
it's a game.
Things seem to be sizzling. Blue Jays are kind of running away with AL East. So many injuries for the Red Sox. Can they survive? Can they get there? We'll give you the top to bottom. We got a college football roundup as Miami, University of Miami. I mean, out of the history of the podcast, I don't think they've started off hotter.
All about the U.
Yeah, I mean, obviously.
Not you last year, but.
Notre Dame's a good win. USF, everyone was like, I get it. It was like a 14-point spread, but they beat the brakes off an undefeated team who just beat Florida.
Yeah.
We'll get into it. Georgia wins an instant classic over Tennessee. Notre Dame loses again. Bill Belichick standing with an over 500 record. Don't look who they play the last 2 games, but let's get it started. So 1-1, the New England Patriots. I'll start with a little bit of the first week where, you know, things didn't go well on every phase of the game. I feel like they got really outplayed in the second half. They got outcoached. They got outmanned. Their quarterback didn't play well. Their special teams was atrocious, missing kicks. The punts were bad. What did you think, Steele, at least of the first week? We got to kind of hop into that before we talk.
Well, the first week, I mean, that was just fun. Like, that's a week one game.
Yeah.
That's what a team with a new coach, young quarterback, a bunch of new players. That's what you look like week one.
Yeah, what are you going to like expect? Like, I don't know. I don't really expect too much from their defense this year. But if, I mean, you can obviously look at the scores of each game and be like, oh, they definitely played better the first game than the second game because it was an all-out track meet in Miami last weekend. But, they came out on top 1-1. Electric game, honestly.
No, it was fucking awesome. Yeah, it was fucking awesome. It was a hell of a watch.
You
want to
get frisky. That's what the Patriots did. I mean, that was Drake May's call coming out party. You could say like the touchdown pass to Booty last year in his debut against Houston was like a coming out, but this was a game where it was like, this is what his baseline should be. Coming in, you know, not turning over the football. Situational football too. It wasn't like he was like nailing guys downfield. He was. That was a beautiful pass to Stevenson. He made a great touchdown throw over to Booty. Made him look good. But you know, he read the you know the defense really well. There was, I think there was a third down play where he saw the linebackers were going back. Russ was for the first down. Even the touchdown run was, you know, off script. Just seems like he really has his head around it. Then again, they played Miami, who, you know, going into that game, I don't think they held Indy off the board for any possession.
And I think it went farther back than that. I think it was like last year they got a defensive stop on fucking and like not the last game. Like it was like a while.
I mentioned Drake May. Who do you think, you know, we'll put the Raiders game behind us because that they should have beat, you know, later in the year, I think they would get the Raiders. But, you know, who do you look at this Miami game having a big game?
It was very good to see Stevenson bounce back. Fuck yeah. You know, I mean, some people ready to write him off, Trevion Henderson, stuff like that. And that's still like, I think Henderson's going to be play a giant role. But yeah. Stevenson absolutely, instead of the fumble machine he has been, I mean, that was vintage Stevenson when he was our lead back without question.
Just ground and
just
pound.
Just absolutely beating the shit out of people. Whether it was from the backfield. He looked great.
His only problem has been turning over the ball. He didn't happen to do that the other day. And we're talking about a duo here. How about the trio? Antonio Gibson with a game-winning, I get it, not running back there, but game-winning kick return after that, you know, vicious punt return that you saw on the other end. I don't think that defined the game. I think a lot of it, you can say what you want about the defense letting up, you know, what was it, 27 points, but they got the job done at the end of the day. I mean, I get it, changed it, stepped out of bounds, all that jazz, but Milton Williams coming in fourth down, getting that sack. Martin Mapu, the possession before getting that big pick on fourth down. Yep. So,
yeah, five sacks as a team, I'm pretty sure. That's fucking good. That's good.
It's great to see. I think their offensive line has been playing decently well the first two games. The rookies, Jared Wilson there, Will Campbell had a couple video clips. Nothing better than like a viral video clip of a offensive lineman pancaking.
Yeah, just absolutely crushing somebody.
Just getting the game through your offensive line. And I can't stand this because this is another point I want to bring up on the Patriots here. They're like, if you get the running game going, it will open up, you know, Drake May and his, you know, immaturity. And say, I'm like, that's any team ever. Even, you know, let's not compare Drake May to Tom Brady, but that's what the good Patriots teams did. They ran the ball well. So then when you play action passed, they weren't ready for it. Like, and you can go to
and the then Randy Moss is 50 fucking yards down, touchdown. Then
you can go all the league, Patrick Mahomes, the Bills. If the Bills didn't have, what's his name, James Cook, they wouldn't be the team they are right now.
That's like why the concept of play action like exists.
Yeah.
Like you run the football RPOs. To open that up. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Hunter Henry, a lot of people contributed to this game. Let me bring up the box score real quick. I feel like he hit at least 8 different receivers. Mac Hollins had the touchdown. You know, Diggs was a presence on third down. I think he's, you know, playing 60, 70% of the snaps. I mean, coming off an ACL, I think that's, you know, big enough. And like I said to him, we haven't had a player in a long time where that. He's as much as a decoy as an actual player. He's going to draw, you know, 2-3 people on him every play, which leads guys open, like Kayshon Boutte, who I think is going to have a big season. Damaro Douglas, who only had a reception this past week. But
as he gets, you know, stronger, healthier, you throw him like 4 passes. You know what I mean? You keep him in the game. You keep him there. Like, you keep him honest. Like, he's not just a full decoy.
Yeah.
And, that's what you got to do. And then, you know, in a couple weeks, maybe we get fucking Bill stuff on Diggs.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be great. Like, who knows?
It's like mid-season form.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
But back on your point.
Gets fully healthy.
I mean, the whole buzz of preseason coming in was Trevion Henderson is the guy. Let's not sleep on who's been the guy on this team. I get turnovers happened last year and wins and loss records. But this guy led the team in receiving last week.
Oh, absolutely.
Stevenson had 5 catches, 88 yards.
That's why I thought it was awesome. Because Stevenson deserved every bit of slander last year. He deserved everything that came his way. He just like fumbles, all that he did.
Oh, yeah. Even
write him off, though.
Even the year before that, we were at that Bengals game when it was their record. It came down to something, whatever it was. And he fumbled on the 1-yard line when they could have beat the
That was like Christmas Eve or something. Day. That was something fucked.
That was tough.
It's a holiday ruiner.
Yeah, on the other side, they didn't really do too much to stop too with Talagoloa. Like I said, they came up big when they had to with the sack, with, you know, the interception. But, you know, that linebacking core, those safeties, you know, Jalen Hawkins, I think, has been the worst player on the field defensively. Robert Spillane, who, you know, got all this talk going into the season. And it's not just him. I think it's the whole linebacking core that, you know, I don't, you know, Jack Gibbons is getting some time there. Ellis, Craig Woodson's actually had a couple good plays here and there. But that's where I see things not going their way in terms of being exploited. You know, I think their defensive line is, you know, is pretty good.
They're doing well, yeah.
Once you get Gonzalez back, both sides of, you know, at least the cornerback side, like cornerbacks, you know, man coverage is going to be better. But it's looking like it's going to be track meets going forward. And if you play a good defense, it could be a tough game.
Absolutely. Yeah. But I do. I'm a little more okay with the, like, Tua Waddle, Tyreek Hill. Like, triangle torching a little bit more than like Geno Smith on a new team.
Yeah.
Like that, like Geno Smith getting like 365 is like, you're going to be fucking better.
Yeah, yeah. And I kind of love Geno Smith too. I just,
Like his first start on a new team, well, you shouldn't, like, get, he shouldn't light you up.
Let's be adults about this.
Yeah. New coach, new coaching scheme. And I know it's Pete Carroll, great coach, future Hall of Famer.
Well, and not to mention two is throwing to two of the fastest guys in the league. And then they gotta go to special teams. Their punter was awful last week. Bryce Barringer comes back, averaging 68. He had two had two punts all day. Means their offense was on the field driving pretty much every drive. 68 yards per punt. That's pretty damn good.
Their punt return sucked so much because it was one of those, like, he just like ran into the wall.
Yeah.
And then just like got bumped and somehow spun out into open field. And it was just like, dude, are you fucking kidding me?
Well, and then sometimes that can like come back. Like if a punter punts it like 70 yards, it's shit, our guy isn't within 15 yards of this guy. He can just open up on the steam.
Hit top speed.
And actually that didn't even happen on that play, to your point. Yeah. He kind of hit that like wall and then he just spun back.
Yeah, he just like didn't go down and stayed up out of it. Like Gibson like ran just fucking borderline like straight through like a just straight shot, which is, I think it was like the second time in history that's ever happened, NFL history or something like that.
Wow.
Like the punt return TD and then the next kickoff kick is taken to the house. It was like, it was one hand. I forget.
Talk about a turn of events though. Like you're like, oh my God, we, you know, they started the game. I think it was 15-0 and, you know, 20 straight points from Miami. And then you bounce back. You find I talk about a lot of resiliency in this team. I feel. I mean, being coached by Mike Vrabel, I get that. You know, that's one thing to say. Oh, he's a big tough guy, but I think he does bring a true toughness to this team, and they're obviously going to play for him down the stretch. Him running, definitely not the same speed, but at the same point where Antonio Gibson was running on that. Yeah. Did you see that side by side? That was beautiful. What'd you think of the kicker, Andy Barrales, getting the game ball?
Before that, just on that one topic, But fuck it. I would have fucking killed to have been in that stadium as a Patriots fan. How they would have reacted after that punt return.
Oh, yeah.
And then just taking it to the house on the kickoff.
So
I would have been going crazy. No, there's no way I wouldn't have got beat up.
And then the next time after you go off on them, they're going to be pumped about that Asian touchdown that got called back and he's on the 26.
No, Dad. That was the perfect away game to fucking go to as a Pats fan. That would have been amazing.
That's what they haven't won there in 6 years, and I get it. It was not an easy victory yet. And besides the first maybe quarter, other than that, there was a pretty much a dogfight. What defense is gonna suck the least?
Yeah, that's literally, what happened there. Literally, fucking A, dude.
But Andy, they gave out a bunch of game balls, which I respect because it's the first one they've had this year under the head coach. Obviously, Kraft came in, did his whole thing with Vrabel. But Andy Barrales, I'm not even going to practice to, you know, get this guy's last name down because he's not going to be here that long. What'd you think of his kicking performance?
Well, 2 for 2 of field goals.
Yeah.
We love that. But if I were head coach or GM, like if you missed back-to-back extra points, you would just not, like, I would have told you to clear out your locker.
He wouldn't have got that opportunity.
That's what I'm
coach.
Saying. Exactly what I'm saying. Like, he would have cleared out his locker after that second one.
And me and you, like, are bozos. Like, if a half-decent NFL head coach, like, is probably not putting him out there.
Yeah.
And it's perfectly acceptable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude. I wouldn't have fucking.
And you see who the player of the game was in the Falcons-Vikings Sunday Night Football? John Parker Romo, the kicker, who got beat out by this fucking
guy.
Would you look at who that?
Didn't, but he didn't know anyone on the. I think there was a defensive player and Bijan Robinson out there, and he didn't even know the defensive player's last name. I'm first name, first and last name. I was like, crazy.
There to hit kicks, man. I don't need to know who that guy is, man.
Yeah.
Guy's not my long snapper.
But there's like a new era of kickers that can kick the shit out of the ball 50, 60 yards, but can't hit a damn extra point. The guy Chad Ryland fucking a couple years ago, he kind of had the same story. He could nail balls from 60 out.
That's
I think
fucking Dallas guy.
Yeah.
That guy's an absolute weapon.
That guy's a different breed.
That guy's an absolute monstrosity.
Aubrey, different breed. But also, if I'm a kicker... Fuck getting drafted by the Pats. I would love to go kick in a dome.
Oh, yeah. No, that everything changes if you're a kicker. You don't want to, dude, Miami, some shit like that, dude. You don't want to play in fucking New England.
No.
Like, dude, Adam Vinatieri, you see all those pictures? Like, he's obviously a fucking legend. But, like, you're not him.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that,
and
dude.
At some point, he went in the dome.
Like, exactly. You know, like, he retreated right to fucking Indy. Yeah.
Yeah. No, Chad Ryland is the kicker for Arizona now. That's a dome. He will never leave there.
No.
Yeah.
Why would you?
So this weekend, Aaron Rodgers coming to town. They are 1-1 coming off a tough loss to the Seattle Seahawks. I think he threw a pick at the end of the game that kind of, you know, turned things for the Steelers. And I think they won by double digits, the Seahawks. But they won a shootout in week one against the Jets. That's how I feel like this game's going to play. The same way it played out week one against the Jets.
I feel like the Steelers had the reverse of like exactly what happened with us. Like they won their like close shootout. And then a kind of team they probably kind of should have beat.
They lost it.
Kind of like beat them by double digits. Like I feel like we're kind of in the same boat.
I think the Jets stink, though, so, like, taking anything... And I think Miami stinks, too. Obviously, the offensive weapons aren't anything to sleep on, but, like, let's call it spade a spade. Like, the Miami defense is trash.
Everyone on the Miami Dolphins, like, that you wouldn't buy, like, a jersey of,
yeah.
Like, you can just easily replace.
No,
isn't that good?
No. The Jabril Peppers revenge game, he's playing safety for them. And then I just saw breaking news before getting in here. Juwan Bentley... former New England Patriots, signed to the Steelers practice squad. Will he be elevated by a game day?
Really?
Who knows?
So they're going like full Raiders and just taking all of our players?
Yeah. I mean, we could use Juwan Bentley at this point. Fuck, I don't even know. Like, clearly there's something wrong with Pepper's attitude because I love him here still. Guy's a dog.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. That one was shocking. That sucked.
Yeah.
That's got to be something like... in building or something. Has to be.
I mean, obviously the Patriots have been ass the last two seasons, but they like... I think they've won like one or two games at home. This is a game where, you know, the Steelers are coming in looking for a get-right game. You've had so many opposing get-right games for other teams the past, you know, two. Even call it post-Tom Brady era. That people are coming in here and being like, all right, we got the pass this week. This is time to get back in the swinging of winning things. You know, I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat and say that the defense is going to stop Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Rodgers is going to have a field day on this, you know, this linebacker safety core up the middle. DK Metcalf has had, you know, days on the Patriots last year. He had like a 80-yard touchdown completely untouched. I could definitely see definitely a shootout. I think both teams could get in the 30s. Because the Steelers defense hasn't been any convincing either, which is kind of a change in their DNA. They've been like more of a, we don't have a quarterback, but our defense has played really well.
Yeah.
They got rid of Minka Fitzpatrick. They have Jalen Ramsey on the corner now. But, you know, it's going to be, if the Patriots are able to run the ball, they're going to be able to go tit for tat with the Steelers offense. I think the Steelers take it by 3 points, but I'm calling it like 34-31. It's going to be one of those.
I like us in a close game. I like the score right around there, but I maybe flip that for me.
Flip it. All right. 34-31.
Yeah. I think their defense, I mean, if the Jets can score 32, why can't we score 34?
Yeah. And this is like,
I mean, you got like obviously offensive line, biggest tests. Watt's an absolute fucking monster, if not like literally the best in the NFL. So stopping him is going to be a problem. Staying away from him with Drake May, like when you're scrambling and running around, you got to make sure you don't just like blindly run into his side.
Yeah, I mean.
He's going to absolutely clean your clock.
Yeah, for sure. Getting rid of the ball quick is huge. I just think this is going to be, you know, a run and gun game, especially when we're talking about, you know, not juggernauts, but two teams that have below average defenses. Can you run the ball and own the time of possession? Because I think that's going to be huge. If you can keep the Steelers offense off the field for as long as you can, I think that's huge. And then you look at all these games. I mean, talk about the Raiders, Miami. I would say this is probably the best team they're playing so far.
I would say so, at least. I mean, it's early. See with the Raiders.
Yeah. I mean, but, if you want to dummy it down, at least
this is definitely better than the most prestige. Dolphins,
yeah. Aaron Rodgers coming in.
Mike Tomlin, a coach.
Actually, J.J. Watt's doing this game. You're not getting, I don't know, Christian Arkan, whoever the hell, fucking F-list CBS. Yeah, you're getting some good guys this week.
The Dolphins, Patriots deserved.
No. Fully deserving. But, like, by the way, did you watch the game, the broadcasts on CBS? They, like, couldn't get the instant replay down or, like, the lines out in the first quarter and a half. So at one point they had to dummy it down, and it just looked like a high school, like, QATV broadcast.
Really?
I was out,
so I didn't really, I was watching it, but, like, I didn't really, like, notice
that. It was at least the first quarter and a half. It was, like, as bad as I've ever seen. And to your point, I was like, this is how it should be. Yeah, this game should be on QATV.
Should have been. Would have been electric.
Yeah. But as I look at the overview of, you know, the Patriots here, they have the Steelers this week and the Carolina. I'm fully, like, I think best case, you got to go 2-2, right? Like, that, you got to win one of these next two.
Yeah.
I think that's, you know, playing with baby steps. I know they have a softer schedule, but there's a lot of games this year. Call them the Steelers because the Panthers have been, you know, very below average this year. So I'm not even going to put them in the frisky conversation. They're playing a lot of frisky teams this year. We could go either way. The fifth game is going to, you know, be a big measuring stick with the Bills. But, you know, going starting 2-2 would be big. 3-1 going into the Bills. I'm going to say some ridiculous takes if that gets to where it needs to be.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Every game's about it, especially because, like, at least on paper, you would think, like, we're playing for a wild card spot.
Yeah.
So, like, everything. And you know who else is going to be playing for a wild card spot? The Steelers, because the Ravens are winning that division.
Yeah.
So, it's like, these games matter. It's early in the year, but, like, down the fucking road, this would be a huge win, most likely, for either of these teams.
And then before we hop in the five NFL questions, like, you see all these, like, Joe Burrow is out for basically the season now. That's another win. Without him in the situation, that's another game on your schedule that could easily be a win now. And then, I mean, going down the list, I think it's more NFC guys like Brock Purdy went down, J.J. McCarthy's hurt. But, you know, there's a lot of injuries so far to start the season, which kind of sucks. I'd like to see, you know, guys healthy early and often, especially Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow got fucked last year. Yeah, had an MVP year, but played on shitty. He just needs to get out. He needs to get out of Cincinnati.
Yeah, there's something in the water there, man. It's just not going his way.
They said they were comparing it today, him and Andrew Luck. So this is the Andrew Luck's last year. So it's year 9 of Joe Burrow. Andrew Luck, it was his last year. Andrew Luck sacked 169 times. Like, that's why he quit, because he...
Yeah, because fuck that, dude. Yeah.
Joe Burrow sacked 200 times.
Oh. Yikes.
I hope he doesn't retire, because the guy, I think he's going to be a generational player.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But I would love to see him on a different team. I would bring Jamar with you.
Bring Jamar with you. Package deal.
Even, you know, swap J.J. McCarthy for him. Boom. Minnesota.
I would wait.
Justin Jefferson.
That'd be sick.
Yeah, that would be unreal. We'll hop into the five NFL questions. Yeah, we gave our Pats predictions. I said lost by 3. You said win by 3.
Yes.
Yep. There we go. Five questions presented by the Law Office of Patrick J. Foley.
Fuck Cooper.
If you're looking for legal proper representation for first time home buyers, and we were told even a couple weeks ago, even more. You know, you get down to your second house. You know, you get more kids in the house. You get more people there. You know, hit up Patrick J. Foley for the legal side of it. He's got you located at 265 Willard Street in Quincy, Massachusetts. Question number one. Are we happy for Mac Jones' win in his start against the New Orleans Saints?
Beat Spencer Rattler, dude. Grow up.
3 touchdowns, 0 picks. I think he had 30-something completions.
You know who else had 3 touchdowns and 0 picks?
Yeah.
Spencer Rattler. That game was a fucking joke.
It was a joke.
Get out of my face.
And I don't like his attitude at the end of his career with the Pats kind of gave me sour, but I am happy. I'm happy for anyone who goes through that type of noise. But to your point, congratulations, you beat a little league team.
Yeah, dude.
I'm sure, like, who were they playing this week? They're probably playing someone a lot better. They are playing they're playing the Cardinals, who are 2-0. So that could be a game. It could be more of a game than this week. Unlike that Thursday night game that we're gonna have to put our bets in. Miami and the Bills there.
Trap game of the century.
Yeah, trap game of the century. All right, so that was question number one. Question number two, the most disappointing team out of the gate in the NFL.
Based on, like, projections, I mean, it's got to be the Chiefs 0-2.
Yeah.
But they're obviously going to be in the end, so I think it's the Dolphins.
Dolphins, just because their expectations were to suck, and they really suck.
Really, really suck. Yeah. Like, I don't think they'd think they'd be this bad.
That's
like,
true.
He should be fired, like, maybe week six.
Yeah.
And I think that's, like, a lot earlier
than, like, normal coach should.
Yeah, like, that team's crumbling.
I'm
going to
go on the other end. Brand new head coach, and don't get me wrong, probably one of the toughest divisions in football. But the Bears starting 0-2 and getting schlacked. Not just losing, getting 50 burgered to the Lions. And then you kind of threw up a dud on, was that Sunday Night Football, to the Vikings. So that's another disappointing team.
Yeah, but that's a bad, that was a bad team that he took over, man.
Yeah.
Like, that was a bad fucking
But you had the franchise. Number one pick from last year. I get that, you know, you have bodies. You improve your offensive line. I don't know. I feel like they, and especially Chicago, like, that's a hub. Like, you got to try to get, you got to try to be better than that.
Also, I can't imagine how electric Dan Campbell was going into that week. Like, remember your offensive coordinator? We're going to fuck that guy up. Like, dude, everyone on the Lions was there for blood against the Bears that game. Like, if they play again, it might go differently. But Dan Campbell was definitely like, we're going to kick the shit out of this guy.
I keep looking at 0-2 teams. And, like, the Texans, they play two good teams. It's kind of tough to go down on them. Like, who they play? They played the Bucs last night. They played the Rams week one. Those are two potential playoff teams. And then if you really want to look at the suck of the suck, I did mention them a couple minutes ago. The Carolina Panthers look like they haven't really skipped a beat from, you know, being the laughingstock of the league last season. So
yeah, those last few weeks where Bryce Young looked good. He doesn't anymore.
Maybe it was garbage time, but he was 30. I mean, we're just looking at his 35 for 55, 328, 3 TD passes.
Garbage time.
Yeah, QBR of 90. If you throw 3 touchdown passes and you have nothing over 100, then yeah, it's probably not that good. Question number three, teams on the rise that have been overachieving and you are impressed with.
The fucking Colts haven't been stopped yet.
Yeah,
dude.
The Colts literally have not been stopped.
Like, the Indianapolis Colts with Dan Jones at quarterback is fucking unstoppable.
But you know it's a gimmick. Like, that whole, I don't know if you saw the end of the Broncos Colts, but the guy misses the 60-yarder, Spencer Schrader, and then they called a 15-yard penalty. He's either on Sportsline or they hit the kicker. I kind of forget which penalty it was. So then they got a 45-yarder and hit it. So, like, that luck isn't going to happen.
No, of course not. Yeah. Oh, dude. What are we? Yeah, dude. Like, believe me, the luck is going to run out for the Daniel Jones left.
Danny Dimes at plus 10,000 going into the season, NFL MVP.
Fuck. Just get ready to sweat. Get ready to sweat, people.
2 touchdown passes, no interceptions to start the season. Over 600 yards.
No, and in the clips I've seen, I have not watched like a full one of their games, but he has looked like pretty good.
Yeah, and a team that I'm ready to like get the grips that they are going to make a run this season is the Los Angeles Chargers. I'm fully on board of, you know, they played the Chiefs in Brazil last week and put a fucking hurt on him. Justin Herbert looks like a guy, I know, two games in, don't get me wrong, but a guy who's trying to play mistake-free football in terms of not turning the ball over.
Yeah.
I love this guy, Marion Hampton, they got from North Carolina. I think he's a great running back. And then Keenan Allen, you finally get a guy, you know, back, you're back with him. You get some chemistry. I think he already has two touchdown passes, catches. I don't think he had all that last season.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I mean, everyone, like, I mean, I think everyone knew Herbert had the talent, but just like threw that pick or something, like made the mistake that cost the game. Or his coach made a terrible fucking mistake that blew it and they lost the game. But he's always had a rocket arm. He's always has a cannon.
Yeah, and I think you have good coach and Jim Harbaugh there.
Much better
and,
than that other idiot they had. Much
and
better.
And their defense is much better. I was watching improved. The game last night. I was just like, he's got to be like close to 10 years in the league. At what point are we starting to consider that dude, Derwin James, to get in the Hall of Fame? Because that guy is a beast.
Derwin.
Yeah, shitty first name.
Florida State. Hate him.
Nah, he's a dog.
No respect.
Though. And then
no, he's very good.
Then, pulled out a big win the other night. We were texting on the way here. Magic Mike couldn't make it, but his Buccaneers, Baker Mayfield with a game on the line, delivers a touchdown with under 5 seconds left. And you could tell they have good coaching. You know why? Because I watched that last drive and they like wouldn't call. They had three timeouts left. Wouldn't call the timeout because they didn't want to give the Texans any time to try to kick a field goal.
Yeah,
they literally got it down to like 3 seconds. I think they ran it in. And then they kicked the ball off and the game was over.
Oh, yeah. I mean, them, like, as constructed, like, they're not, like, good enough to really, like, go far, I think. But they're, like they're in the playoffs already. That fucking division.
Oh for sure.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's what, like.
They just grind.
They're, like, the most automatic team in the playoffs already because of the rest of that division. I mean, they're a class above them.
But, like, without Chris Godwin, this guy, Amika Abuka, the guy from Ohio State, he's been wonderful.
He's a great player,
Had him on any time touchdown last night. He was fantastic. Ryan Miller, he scored last night. What is the next question I had up? Oh, pick of the week. All right, so I kind of fit this into these questions. Okay, let's go down the list here. Personally, this isn't going to be the Drifters. Shout out Drifters. I'm 2-0 on the Sunday NFL Drifters picks. Maybe still we'll have to get the Follow House College pick of the week going.
Love it. Love it.
You know, I'm gonna stay tight here. Could be a close game at 405. I'm going to ride the Chargers at 2.5 against the Broncos. I think they're a much more talented football team. I think Bo Nix is very overrated. What the Chargers have shown me all, these last 2 weeks, that they're meant for these times, especially a home game. I'm favoring them at least 3 points at home.
All right. I like the Cowboys.
Cowboys.
Dogs on the road versus the Bears.
Dogs on the road against the Bears.
They showed a lot of resilience. That game could come down to a field goal. That Cowboys kick is amazing. I mean, that Giants-Cowboys game was nuts. That was like the game that came on after the Patriots game where I was. And it was like literally just like showing bits and pieces of the fourth. There was like 5 lead changes in the fourth alone.
No, you like
that game was wild.
They finally got someone in New York who can actually kind of throw the ball, which is like a dying Russell Wilson. But that guy Wendell Robinson was great. Obviously, Malik Nabers, I think he's already a top 10 talent in the league.
Absolutely, LSU.
Them scoring points could definitely at least go back on the Cowboys here. Their offense too, Pickens and CeeDee Lamb.
But I don't think the Bears have anything.
Yeah, this is a huge game for the Bears. Bears need a win.
No, they need a win, but like I don't know if they get it.
Yeah, I like Cowboys on the road taking it. I mean, a lot more experience. We'll see how this Schottenheimer guy goes. They were kind of partying after a almost loss to the Giants. Would have been pretty rough.
I feel you, but that's also the type of game you do celebrate a little afterward. I know it's fucking
first one of the season. You haven't won in a while. It's been, 8-9 months. I get it.
What is the projected quarterback matchup for Bengals-Vikings right now?
Right now, we have Bengals quarterback, former Washington Husky, Jake Browning. Is going to take on former almost NFL MVP Carson Wentz.
Oh, that's must-watch TV. That's fucking amazing.
Bonus pick. Minnesota's favored by 3.5. I'm taking Jake Browning all day. I don't think there's a world that we live in. I'm not going to go to milk bets because I'm just done with the milk. It's not going to happen. But there's not a world we live in. I don't think Carson Wentz will ever win a game again. I'd be shocked.
Well, I don't think so either, but having Justin Jefferson on your side is your best shot, man.
Yeah. That's fair. I think Jordan Addison still has a game or two left of his suspension. But we'll
Jones see. In the backfield. I mean, that's going to be his best shot to win a game.
It's in Minnesota. He was so – I get it was weak.
And you're playing a backup quarterback. Like, this is his best shot to win that game. But I don't think he does.
I get it was week 18 or whatever it was last year, the last game of the season, and you were playing the Broncos once. But he looked like he didn't even deserve to, like, have an NFL uniform last year.
Oh, yeah, no.
That
no,
one game he played for the Chiefs. And you know what? They have they said today they have Romo and Nance on that game.
Oh.
So, like, they can't pivot now, I guess.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And they did say the best matchup for CBS at 1 o'clock is the Patriots.
Yeah.
No. We're getting J.J. Watt and Ian Eagle, whatever the hell his first name is. Good stuff. Sunday Night Football, we have this is the question number 5 of the NFL questions presented by the Law Offices of Patrick J. Foley. And actually, last of the football segment, we have the Chiefs, the winless Chiefs, on the road at MetLife Stadium taking on the 0-2 Giants. Giants showed a lot of promise offensively last week. Chiefs fared by 5.5 points. What do you got?
Chiefs.
Yeah. Just sound like...
Like, come on now.
It's got to be, right?
It has to be.
Cover a spread. Don't just win a game. Win convincingly. And the Chiefs, you know what? The Chiefs have played two decently close games. Obviously, two great opponents. But their defense doesn't look bad. And their defense has been kind of their DNA the past couple seasons. Even like going to the Super Bowl the last 2 years. They got there because of their defense and then last-minute plays by their star quarterback and, you know, that jazz.
No, yeah. The Chiefs are going to be there like the end of the year and stuff. They're clearly not the, like, dominant fucking thing that they have been right now anyway, at the very least. But, They can still beat the Giants.
Yeah, they're not. They're,
they're still going to cover.
They might not win the division. They're definitely not. I don't think they're going to get home field advantage. We'll see. We're two games in. They could win. They could win out. Who knows? But they are like. I think they're sitting at like 9 straight division wins and like 10, 11 straight playoff appearances, and they're only a couple away from like the Pats dynasty. So it could end this year. We'll see.
It could.
Both got Chiefs there. And then Monday night, we actually got an absolute matchup here. The Ravens are hosting the Detroit Lions. Baltimore's favored by 4.5 points. Baltimore put the hurt kind of on the Browns this week. Divisional matchup. Obviously choked against the Bills in the fourth quarter there of is that Sunday Night Football?
Yes, week 1.
Week 1. Both two teams looking hungry. 52.5 is the over-under. I would take the over in this game all day. Just two offensive juggernauts. But at the end of the day, I think the Ravens are going to move into a class, not of their own, but with the Buffalo Bills, I think, at the end. I'm personally taking the Ravens at 4.5 here. I just think they're so quick on offense, and they can slow it down on you with Derrick Henry. You know, like I said, in the Patriots fashion of them, time of possession, taking care of the football. I think they do a lot more things right than a lot of other teams, and that's including the Lions here on Monday night.
I like the Lions plus 4.5.
Ooh, okay.
I like them plus the points. I do think the Ravens will pull off the close victory, but I think this game is going to be very close. I think it's going to be high scoring. I think both offenses are locked in. Both teams have strong defenses. You have just talent across the board at fucking all levels on each team. But I do think Lamar Jackson gives you the edge, and I do think they pull it out on a last-minute drive and win by a field goal.
Yeah, I just dummy it down and, like, who's going to make more mistakes in a game? And look, when you look at the game at face value, Jared Goff and Lamar Jackson. I mean, Jared Goff has played some great football these last couple of years, but when it comes down to big games, he hasn't really showed up. Obviously showed up last week against the Bears. But, you know, the Packers, I mean, we haven't even talked about the Packers yet, who's probably been the most impressive team in the NFL.
They
took it to the Lions.
How many Super Bowls has Lamar Jackson been in?
Zero.
How many has Jared Goff been in?
Zero. One. But that was a long time ago.
Yeah, it's probably not his second best team. And it was, team
and it was rigged. That was not pass interference.
No, it was not.
So, touche. That's our football segment. Before we get into the baseball and college football round of it, I just want to throw out our other sponsor here. Not other, but They're all priorities. Drifter's Kitchen and Bar, located at 1464 Hancock Street in the heart of Quincy Center. If you're looking for, you know, proper dining, went there a couple weeks ago for an open bar birthday party. Kind of got after it. It was a great time.
Nice, nice.
You know, espresso martinis they had. They had a great spread of pizzas. Kale Caesars, which are to die for. Oysters on oysters for days. You want something different? I heard the next day, I heard Sunday NFL week one, the people were getting after it in there. And that's what I love to see. I know Drifter's Kitchen and Bar, Fowler House Cafe, all friends of ours. Get in there.
Yeah.
Support your local businesses. Get it done. Now we're hopping into baseball here. Yankees took 2-3 from the Red Sox. Crochet gets the job done in a busy first inning on Sunday night there with their lineup finally coming to play. From a Yankees perspective, since we talk about the Red Sox here a lot, what did you get out of that?
I mean, the first two games were great.
Yeah.
It was great base running. It was hitting. It wasn't just Aaron Judge or Giancarlo Stanton hitting him to the moon. It was good, like, fundamental baseball. The pitching was great. Not many mistakes. And that's what you want. And Judge, you know, he did his thing.
Yeah.
So that's par for the course. But as long as the pitching does good, beat the Red Sox 2 out of 3 at Fenway, and you lose the Crochet game, that's exactly what you want.
That's what you want as a Yankees fan. On the Red Sox side, this team's gutted by injuries. The last four guys in the lineup every night from here on out until the end of the regular season, you're going to see some AAA guys, whether it's Nate Eaton, Nick Sogard, you know, even Connor Wong throwing up. It's getting ugly. Willie Abreu seems like he's not coming back to the lineup any soon, even though he's supposed to be back this weekend. I call bullshit. Roman Anthony keeps getting pushed back. Without those two guys, you really have a lot of emptiness in your lineup. They're shortening their starting rotation now to basically four guys. They had actually, I'm getting negative here. So our guy Conley early, his second start tonight, went 5 1/3, let up 5 hits, 1 run, 7 Ks. Guy who should look forward to if you need a fourth starter come the postseason, maybe. He's your guy. Peyton Tolley probably going to be in the bullpen. But bottom line, this team's injured. They don't have enough what it takes for 1 through 9 to get it done. If you see a race, you see a marathon, they are struggling to gain 162 health-wise. And it's showing in the standings there. I mean, like I said, the Blue Jays have kind of found themselves in a territory where they're most likely going to win the division.
Why'd they have to get hot?
Yeah, they've won 5 in a row at least.
Yeah, what the fuck?
We are only right now 3.5 games above the Guardians, which that was at least a 6-game gap maybe 10 days ago. So that's something to look out for. And then you have a pretty tough schedule coming up. You have the A's, who you're losing to right now in the 7th inning, are recording on a Tuesday night. And then you hit the Rays, always give you a tough time. And then finish the season, you got Toronto, and then you got Detroit. So definitely could be tough for the making, but it's looking like it could be possibly a Red Sox-Yankees first-round wildcard matchup.
It does look like that.
The Astros are right there, though, a half game out, so you never know what can happen.
They honestly the two deserved that fucking game.
Yeah.
They literally, dude, the past, like, I think the Yankees were, like, first half of the year, like probably post All-Star break, they're just the same fucking thing.
Yeah, just 500
just
ball.
Just 500 ball. Like, they absolutely deserved that one game.
And they got, the Red Sox got hot right before the All-Star break, and then, like, 10 games after the All-Star break, they got, like, hotter, and now they've just kind of played even-keel baseball.
And the Astros just won't fucking die, so they're probably gonna fucking
yeah. No, at this point, I was like, oh, maybe division. But like, we should try to get where the Yankees are right now and host a wild card. Now they're just hanging on. Now it's just like, let's make the playoffs. I think that's a point where I'm at as a Red Sox fan. It's sitting at, you know, obviously everyone's probabilities. We're sitting at 91.5 to make the playoffs. That's going down by a percentage every single day, and it's kind of freaking me out.
Yeah, I mean, it is one of those races that's like, It's literally just day by day.
Well, no, you get the extra wild card now when all these teams are fighting. Even look in the other side, like the Giants, Reds, and D-backs are all within 2 games out of the playoffs. They're all sitting at 75 and 75. Like that's how baseball goes nowadays. Like, and I kind of like that aspect. But if you're on, you know, that side of it where you play pretty good all year, you're sitting at 14 games over, but someone's kind of leaned on you. You have a bad 2 weeks at the end of the season. Never know what can happen.
No, it sucks to be in those, but like highly support like them existing because it's just like several extra game sevens.
Yeah, the one
and it's electric when it's like two. Like, dude, if it was like for me as the Yankees fan, like, if it ended up being Astros Red Sox, that would be fucking amazing.
Yeah, because one's going down.
That would be beautiful.
I will say going into the season, I would. So this is another positive. Going into the season, I would say the strength of the Red Sox is their lineup. 1 through 9. Now going into the postseason, I would say their strength could be their pitching because you only play 3 games in a wild card. You got basically guys who they're throwing in they basically have a 3-man rotation with a spot start guy. So you're going to have Crochet, Giolito, and Bayo. And then basically in the playoffs, you only throw your studs. You even throw Peyton Tolley, the guy Conley early, who's pitching tonight. You can even get them out of the pen. You don't have to have, even though I love myself some Brendan Bernardino, but like all these guys who have come in, Justin Slayton, sit them on the backside. Don't even get me started with, I don't even remember his name now because that guy sucks that bad.
Jordan Hicks?
Yeah, he got on the injury list because he sucked. It's not because he's hurt. It's because he sucks.
It is funny when you like straight up know that.
Yeah, it's really bad.
Every team does it.
It's really bad. And like everyone's saying too, like Craig Bressel's getting the last laugh, but wouldn't it be something right now if we had Roman Anthony and Rafael Devers in the same lineup? Cause who's on the team right now that you got in that trade? Who's on the team right now you got in that trade? No one. Literally no one. Kyle Harrison's like the ace for the fucking Woo Sox right now. Jordan Hicks we just talked about. He's so bad, we're saying he's hurt. And who knows? There's another guy. I don't even remember who that fucking guy was.
Was it him or was it Hicks? One of them, they just like straight up didn't have a picture on ESPN. Or it might have been Nesson. One of them, they had like the picture of the trade and it was just like blank.
Might have been Kyle Harris just because he was a prospect.
Yeah, it could have been.
Which makes more sense. But like, you mean like, what would have happened if Devers stayed? Because everyone says that the Red Sox immediately got better when he left. Like, they started playing better. You know why they got better? Because as soon as you traded your best lefty bat, you call up your best lefty bat from AAA, Roman Anthony, and then you start playing well. So what happened if you actually had both them in the lineup? This is where I'm getting, you know, you can play the shoulda, coulda, wouldas, but like that's, you're going to go back to that trade. I even go back to it now, but you can go back to that trade in a year. How fucking dumb was that? I don't like Rafael Devers at all. I think he's a giant piece of shit. Don't get me wrong, but he's a hell of a hitter. And sometimes
that he is.
Sometimes you can take the piece of shit for what it's worth, as long as he's hitting you 30 bombs. And I think he would have gotten friendlier with the team. And I
had no problems having A-Rod.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I did not care. You think Giants fans gave a fuck about Barry Bonds? Like, they're like, no, he literally has 73 home runs.
Yeah, dude, batted like 388, dude. Like,
what a fucking
and
joke.
And leading the league in walks.
Yeah, I went to Yale. I pitched on the Red Sox. I was the last pitcher on the fucking Red Sox World Series. Do you want a piece of shit Craig Breslow is? I'm not going to go off on Alex Cora tonight. I think now he's like, all season we were like, okay, like, he should be fired. And then they got better. Now they're at a point where so many people are hurt, you can't even go in the manager now, and it kind of sucks. Yeah, I mean, if they, like, really catapult and don't make the playoffs, I still think they're in. I think they're going to make the playoffs. I think they're going to be – my hot take right now is that they're going to go below the Astros, and they're going to end up playing Seattle, which I would probably not rather. I honestly want the Yankees. Just give me that first round. It was basically that paintball scenario when you guys were sitting out and you guys told me to run. Just get me now or I win. So like I didn't win, but I'm saying the Red Sox wise, get me to the Yankees to either put me to bed or, you know, put me all the way to the top. Because if they beat the Yankees, you're going to have a lot of adrenaline going. A lot of adrenaline. And we've had their number this year. I mean, they took two or three of us from us over the weekend. But, I mean, I guess you're only as good as your last game. So.
Correct.
Yep. Currently, right now, the Red Sox are losing 2-1.
The Yankees are up 5-1, I believe.
Against the A's, too. What the fuck? Well, they can't score runs. They got one run. Can't figure it out. All right, last segment of the of the episode, I guess. College football roundup. Miami beats the brakes off USF to claim state. They will now play the Florida Gators next week. Do you think they'll still have the state after this weekend?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Florida's 1-2. They lost to South Florida 18-16, and you just beat the fucking brakes off of South Florida. There was a weather delay.
I heard
halfway
about that.
Through the game for like an hour.
Yeah.
So like after that, like it was already pretty much over. Like it wasn't like that really like affected like too much, like score wise. Like it, what was done, but they looked great. They look great in all facets. The offense absolutely clicks. The defense smothers you.
Wow. You see, you hear this. For anyone who knows retro guys, Martin Gramatica, former Bucks kicker. His son, Nico Gramatica, kicking for USF.
Wow.
He's caught that.
Nice.
Good catch. And then, so Carson Beck's still throwing picks. He had two picks on the night.
Two picks, but that's fine when you're getting touchdowns.
Yeah, we got a dub. Yeah, 23 for 28.
It's 49-12, dude.
Yeah. Get in line. Oh, so you got the ABC game. You got like the game this week.
Yeah, probably next week too. It's probably college game day next week.
Oh, Florida's not even ranked?
No, it lost to LSU last week as well.
So it's it's a 7.5-point spread right now. Legway, okay, I know him. Yeah, so the next game is going to be next week.
I'm feeling good. Florida, I think their first game, their win, is the only time they've scored over 20 points. Offense is not clicking.
So to quote the great Conor McGregor, are you not looking past the Gators, but you're looking through them?
We're gonna kick the shit out of the Florida Gators and then kick the shit out of
like
Florida.
I would have liked it if you flexed on them like that.
No. You gotta,
that's fair.
You see them doing all their chomp shit?
Yeah.
I hate that chomp almost as much as I hate the Florida State. Like, you gotta kick the shit out of them first.
Oh, was that LSU last week? Was it at LSU?
Yeah.
Oh, so I missed it. Did they usually hang like Gators from trees?
The night game?
Yeah.
Whole families of Gators out there, man. Jesus. They weren't fucking around. No, but it was like last week, other than that, I mean, it was an absolutely electric weekend of college football.
Yeah, I didn't catch the game, but I heard that Tennessee was an instant classic.
Absolutely. We were watching it. It was back and forth. Tennessee up there. They come down the field. I think it was a 43-yard kick with time expiring.
Oh.
I'm watching it with a few people, and I'm like, dude, this is Tennessee. Like, I have no money involved. I'm not even trying to do a reverse jinx. I was like, there isn't a fucking chance this guy hits this.
No, and he missed
it. I was like, this is Tennessee versus Georgia. Dude, he kicked it off screen. It was so fucking, dude. I was geeking laughing. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? And then at that point, obviously, like, if you need to, like, predict how overtime's going to go in that game, like, Georgia won.
Yeah.
Like, that kick went that way. And Georgia won the game, like, technically.
Oh,
like, that
brutal.
Game was over.
That's
and
brutal.
Notre Dame, terrible loss.
Yep.
Absolute heartbreaker. Potential season ender. Two losses.
Yeah.
Expanded playoffs. So, but they, like, dude, you got to win out, and you got to win some big ones convincingly
if
you
want to
get in there.
They're not winning now.
No.
They're off to a tough start.
Yeah. Not looking good for Notre Dame.
The local flavor, BC, goes down 1-2, loses at ACC opponent Stanford. Oh, across the country.
See, that's why that's a trap game.
Yeah, that's a huge trap game.
Your conference game is 3,000 miles away.
What was the spread? I would have loved it. Were they favorites?
I have no idea.
They were.
Game was on.
They were two score favorites.
Really?
What the fuck?
Wait, Stanford was?
No, BC was.
Oh.
And they lost by 10.
All right, well, that's Vegas' fault for
that's
that.
That's on us. We got to find that.
BC shouldn't have been 14-point fucking favorites.
No,
that's crazy.
Any game. In any fucking game.
Wow. That is a fight. Dude, Stanford fucking plus 14 was like the biggest layup of the weekend.
Yeah, I don't know.
Didn't even see it.
I don't know
BC
how
games.
We missed that. That was on us. I did write Belichick on this, so he did get another win. 41-6 this time, beaten on a Richmond Spiders. I was talking about this with someone a couple weeks ago. Just that's a tough mascot. Spiders.
Intimidating.
Like, we're going to get you. You know,
people fear spiders, man.
No, I'm terrified of spiders. Don't get me wrong, but mascot.
Also, I think the last 2 weeks, worst teams Bill Belichick's ever coached against? That's not even disrespect to them, like just like D2 schools.
Oh, like,
because he's an NFL guy. Oh, so like, it's like by miles.
By miles. By like, he could have brought,
like, those guys should have been on
it. He could have brought over some kids from Foxborough High School. They would have got the job done.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy.
What's the rankings looking? Who's number one right now? Ohio State. Yeah.
OHIO.
Penn State.
Yeah.
LSU. Miami sitting at 4. At least on the AP poll. I know it's all different. And then Florida State's right there at 7. Castellanos. I don't like Castellanos. I don't like him.
You troll Nick Saban. You do get a little credit from me, even though like he's on Florida State.
No, he was a complete head case on BC last year. Left midseason because he got demoted at BC.
And now BC lost his 14-point favorites to Stanford, and he's fucking number 7 in the country.
He's laughing to the
bank.
He's
winning, yeah.
to the bank, he must. Oh. Anyone else? Oh, Texas is 2-1, ranked 8th. Bama's sitting at 14.
Yeah, they went down pretty far.
Yeah. They had a.
But of course, see, the thing with the SEC is you have the schedule to bounce back.
To bounce
from
back,
that.
Make it up.
Like, you win, like now obviously that's hard to do.
Yeah.
But, like, you have the games you need to, like, get there.
Yeah. I'm thinking other teams. I saw Oklahoma play Michigan a couple weeks ago. They beat the Pricks off Michigan.
Like, if you're one of those teams that are, like, you know those years when, like, Utah's ranked, like, 6 or something?
Yeah.
Like, if they blow an early game, like, they like it's over.
That's why
you got nothing to make it up with.
Being a college football player back in, like, when only two teams made, like, the championship. That was out of it. Like,
oh, peak hatred. Yeah. Oh, my God. That's why college football rivalries are so intense. Because it was like, dude, final game of the season, Michigan 1, Ohio State 2. Like, you know what I mean? And like, loser is not in that fucking championship.
You're not going to replay the game.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, it's over.
What year was that? Was that Tebow year? I'm trying to remember what year that was when it was literally Michigan 1. It was one of them was 1, one of them was 2.
Probably 2008 because that would have been.
Ohio State wins. They played Florida and Florida won.
Because that was like Mike Hart out of Michigan. Shout out him. He was awesome.
Oh, yeah. He was a beast. Chad Henne.
Fuck that.
Chad
yeah.
Henne. Mario Manningham. Fuck him too, though.
Yes.
All right. We'll wrap it up here. Episode 196. What you got?
Shout out Bud Crawford taking down Canelo.
Oh, okay.
In boxing fight of the year. It was fucking amazing.
Yeah. How'd it go?
It was an extremely close fight. He was just Canelo was doing his thing where he walks you down like the entire fight.
Yeah, that's how boxing
is. Bud Crawford just too fucking quick, man. And he was getting in there and exchanging with him. And this dude was a dude who started at 135. They just fought at 168.
Oh, so he just got down real quick?
No, Crawford moved up like 3 weight classes.
Oh, he moved
Canelo
up to fight him 168. Oh, Jesus. So he was eating his fucking Wheaties.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, it was amazing. I mean, there's one where he literally spins Canelo. Like, he hits him with a counter punch. And it's like slow motion, like going like this. And you can see Canelo be like, whoa, that just happened to me. It was very impressive. Bud Crawford might be the best I've seen post like Floyd.
That's unreal. Good to hear. It's some good boxing. Need that. Some good pub.
Catch it on Netflix if you want.
No, because I haven't seen like a good UFC card in a while.
Yeah, oh, dude, that was a fight, man. That was a good one.
That's sick. So sponsors, I think we threw everyone out there. Law Office of Patrick J. Foley, looking for legal proper representation. Look no other than him. 265 Willis Street, Quincy, Mass. Drifter's Kitchen and Bar, great spot in the heart of Quincy Center. Filehouse Cafe, a staple of Quincy, Massachusetts. Right down from Veterans Memorial Stadium. If you're ever going in for a free Jacks game or just before a high school football game,
that's where it should start.
That's where it should start or even end. You know, double headers are the best.
Yeah.
Before and after. Get going. All right. We'll see you next time. Episode 196 in the books.
Yep.
Peace.
All about the U.